Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Okay, so it's been a week. It has been a week of trying to understand what is going on. What does the relationship between the United States and Israel look like? What does the relationship between Netanyahu and Trump look like? And why suddenly has J.D. Vance stepped into the spotlight when we have really seen very, very little of him throughout this conflict? What is actually going on here? Dr. Dan Diker, president of the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs, a very good morning to you. I'm sure, like the rest of us, you have a little bit of whiplash watching what's been going on this week.
Absolutely, Howard. Good morning to you in Johannesburg. I just arrived in Jerusalem just these last few minutes, all the way from New York, having been in direct contact with people in the administration and in the Congress and so on. So it's been quite a few weeks there on the U.S. side. And clearly, I think the question you raised in the opening is a very important one. Why are they fronting Vice President Vance? I think it's to give the president a little bit of a cover and perhaps deniability and distance as they verify, this. There's no other way to put it, but the Iranian regime is an apocalyptic messianic death cult, and here the president has done sort of a 180 and has pushed for this deal. It's clear and clearer that it's the Americans that push for the deal as opposed to the Iranian regime. The Americans, have the president has a midterm election coming up. His numbers don't look great. And I think at this particular time, he was convinced by his two key advisors on his left ear, if you will, Steve Witkoff and his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, that if he didn't do this this deal, they would, in their view, definitely lose the elections. In the international economic situation would spiral out of control, and he would lose a legacy, he would gain a legacy as one of the worst presidents in American history if he let this global economic meltdown take place, as they put it to him. So this is what drove him to do the deal. And believe me, the Iranian regime completely understood the sense of economic desperation.
What's fascinating to me is I wonder if they've calculated this correctly, because by doing the deal, to some extent, he's alienated a tremendous amount of people who were supportive of him. And maybe those numbers aren't significant. Maybe those people are still going to come back and vote Republican anyway. But the collateral damage or the unintended consequences maybe, I would think might also be a factor here.
Yes, could very well be. I mean, it clearly was a bombshell, if you will, on his political base, and certainly to those of us in Israel. I think it's when you look at it in context, though, Howard. I think we can understand what's happened here. There is no deal. This is the program.
It's a pause button. It's a pause button.
It's a pause button. It's a framework. I call it a framework misunderstanding as opposed to a framework understanding, MOU. I call it a memorandum of strategic misunderstanding, because people that know something about the Islamic Republic know that this is a classic strategic move by the Iranian regime. Their number one goal is to create chaos and conflict between the United States and Israel. Their number one goal is to isolate Israel as the fall guy, if you will, and create a frontal confrontation between us and the American administration. And you see already in the last 2 days, there have been nearly 100 attacks by the Iranian regime Hezbollah on Israel. So that forces Israel, obviously, to take strong military measures in order to In order to counterattack against the Hezbollah. And then the Iranian regime says to the president, you see why there's no peace? It's because of the Israelis. And so that's a calculated move, and one that Prime Minister Netanyahu has to handle very delicately in back channel talks with the administration. My understanding is there have been intense back talk channels because of the very inappropriate criticism that has been leveled on Israel by the vice president. That's something that you simply do not do. Two allies that fought shoulder to shoulder against this apocalyptic death cult, and all of a sudden, the senior ally airs out dirty laundry or condemns their ally in public internationally. I mean, it's the ABCs of alliances and diplomacy. You never do that. So I think this was an ill-advised move on the part of the vice president. But the most recent information that I have is that Channel 14 correspondent, who actually I was lucky enough to interview with her in New York just about a week and a half ago, she had an exclusive interview with the president, and the president told her, this has just come through a few hours ago, that if Israel were forced to attack the Iranian regime, the United States would back Israel in such a situation. So that was sort of reassuring.
So the interesting thing about that is, whilst you were talking and saying that these are the ABCs of diplomacy, these are the things you don't do, what's very, very clear here is, and is that if you know that, and I know that, and other people know that, then Vance knows that. The administration knows that. Is this not perhaps, that being the case, is this not perhaps a very, and maybe I'm being ridiculously optimistic or naive, but to me this seems almost too much of a change in direction to be authentic. And maybe this is to send the message to Iran publicly that, you know, we're falling out with Israel, but, so therefore this deal need, believe our credentials around this.
Well, there's two ways of looking at this. I think you're onto something here, Howard, in the sense that, I mean, what I'm hearing you say is this is too wild a story to be real. It
yes.
Maybe it's staged. As we know, in the past, in the June 2025 joint attack on the regime, as well as the February 28th, 2026 attack that lasted for 5 or 6 weeks, there was a lot of disinformation beforehand, and then followed by the attack. And what I'm hearing you say is, there's a similar strategy here of confusing the enemy before, leaving room open for another joint attack. That's entirely possible. I think there's another possibility here, and that is that this is such an unexpected surprise move by the president that really essentially refutes everything that he had said before, meaning he said to the Iranian people, help is on the way. We have to kill this death cult. We have to completely degrade their ballistic missile capability, their enrichment capability, their nuclear fissile material storage capability, and their terror proxy capabilities. Now, none of those goals have been completely achieved, and I think that the president knows who he's dealing with on the Iranian regime side. So I think he wants to leave some space open to re-engage them militarily if that becomes necessary. I'm concerned that you lose momentum here. You're going into the midterms. It's very hard for us to see the president re-engage in another bombing campaign before the midterm elections in early November. And once that happens, there is a thesis that says they will then return to finish the job that they didn't finish before. I find it very difficult to believe that after these months they're going to go back to a military campaign. I think it leaves Israel in a way to face this enemy alone. But having said that, we have to give the president credit because he is the first president since 1979 that did take a very strong position and bomb the hell out of the Iranian regime. They are far weaker today than they were. Hamas, its proxy, is far weaker today. Hezbollah is far weaker today. So there has been a lot that has been accomplished with the administration. And I think that the really big problem that we face now is the massive anti-Semitism that is awash, probably an SA. It's definitely rearing its ugly head across the United States. And I think that right now what we need to focus on is Israel needs to take the lead in embracing the Jewish diaspora in a way that it hasn't yet done in order to really tighten.
Absolutely. In fact,
in order to tighten the noose on the enemy and strengthen our collective, our collective position.
I'm actually going to ask my producer to set up a time to talk about that as a subject in of itself with you, because I do think it is something absolutely, absolutely vital. That is where we do need to leave it. Thank you, as always, Dr. Dan Dyker, President of the Jerusalem Center for Security and Foreign Affairs, talking to us from Jerusalem, just back from a trip to the United States and bringing us some incredibly interesting information.